humans, and
Hi.
Welcome to Audio Face 50 of the Tens. We've done this a lot, but this is 10 to 1. These are the top 10 albums of the decade, as judged by I, Dan, Him, Sean, hosts of Audio Face.
Yeah.
Let's jump into it. Number 10 for our top album of the Tens is Flying Lotus's Cosmogramma.
Came out the 2010, and it was experimental as fuck, weird, but my god, it is so good.
It's an experimental masterpiece, because oftentimes experimental is just like too much for a lot of people. Like, okay, I get what you're doing here, it's a weird thing, but it's weird. This is also very weird, extremely weird,
but if you're gonna go weird, make Cosmogramma. You have Zodiac shit, do the astral plane, satellite, German haircut, which what?
Drips on his harp.
Drips on his harp is so good. Just the amount of material that is in this just makes me appreciate how good artist Flying Lotus is.
Young and the World Lasts With You with Flying Lotus and Tom Yorke.
Yep.
Thom Yorke, exactly. Yeah, So Flying Lotus, later in the tens, came with Until the Quiet Comes, which was another like similar album to this.
You're Dead.
Yeah, You're Dead, which was quite an album, and Flamagra, which just came out this year, we don't know what to deal with, so it's not on this list, but it's a very good album, damn good growth, and like Flying Lotus is definitely in the right direction with Flamagra. But when you come to Cosmogramma, it's the bare basics.
Is beautiful.
It's not even rapping here. It's just the experimental. It's just the beats.
There's no genre to put this in.
Yeah,
absolutely no genre. It's just Cosmogramma. That's what it is. And there's very, very few albums in the history of music that can do that and have nothing tied to it. Pretty much.
Very few musicians and producers, but Flying Lotus is just so distinct in that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like electronic indie, but still like indie in its own way.
I guess that's what you could count it. Now,
wait. With song pick?
Song pick.
Maybe.
Well, everyone, do the Astral Plane.
Okay.
Which, that'll be the most known song, but for the album that is so strange, that is the easiest to get into is Do the Astral Plane.
Yeah, it's either that or maybe Zodiac shit.
Your Zodiac shit, exactly. Yeah.
But I'll do the Astral Plane.
For sure. Now, that was number 10. Number 9, we have Tame Impala with Currents. Came out in 2015. Oh my god.
Beautiful albums, we're looking at it, right?
Literally, this is absolutely beautiful. There's a song in here called Yes, I'm Changing that when that song came out, it made me tear up, man, because it is a song that is, it's what we've been wanting from a lot of rock music is to have influences from a bunch of other genres and to put it into one, but make it its own thing, and that's Currents. We talked about it earlier where there's been a couple albums that have done that where they've mixed it more, but it hasn't happened tenfold. This is might be one of the only ones that does that, where it's itself. No one else can make an album like this like Tame Impala can. Yeah. The song Yes, I'm Changing, it has this really nice synth beat with drums, bass, a light guitar, and the lyrics, everything onto that song is just, there's so much emotion into it saying, you know, hey, I'm changing, you can change as a person, you can be different, you can go through things and grow as a person. And there's a lyric on that where it says, people say that they never change, but that's bullshit, they do.
Right.
Yeah. But in a beautiful voice and a beautiful thing that makes it just
makes it powerful, makes it lingering, like it's lingering and long lasting. Exactly.
I mean, Let It Happen, there's so many little things that there's the guitar part in Let It Happen that is used in car commercials, that's so much commercial play. But the funny thing is, this album itself doesn't get too much commercial play compared to how good people in general know it is.
Yeah.
You have The Moment, you have Eventually, New Person, Same Old Mistakes.
Love Paranoia is my favorite.
Love Paranoia. Oh, it's such a good track. I like Gossip in between Eventually and The Less I Know I Better, mm-hmm. which is that little like electronic thing that just gets it together. I'm like, this is so, it's so many little nuances in it. The Less I Know I, The Better is great. That's the fuck. Yeah. That's the Fuck Trevor song.
it's so good. Yes, I'm Changing will be like our pick from Tame Impala's, but Tame Impala's Currents is just like, man, one of the best. He's got an album coming out in 2020 to look forward to.
And the singles that are already released to that.
Is singles that are already released are close to godliness.
Exactly. That's what I'm like.
It might end up being like, same here again.
But to say, if they make another Currents, but even better, that's like dropping the Bible right
here,
there.
Here we are in 2029 with like slight gray hairs looking at our like hollow screen going, right. Well, on the sheet, it looks like Tame Impala's got it.
He's Tame Impala's back.
Tame Impala's got it again. Yes. So number nine. Number eight.
MGMT with Little Dark Age.
Yes.
Man, what a great comeback album to me, because I've been a big fan of MGMT since they've released Oracular Spectacular in 08.
Congratulations was one hell of a way to jump into 2010 as well.
And I really like Congratulations. But then when they came out with the other two, Late Night Tales, MGMT, and MGMT self-titled, in 2011, 2013, those were such big misses to me from artists I know they can do work, to then make Little Dark Age, which is an absolute masterpiece of an album. It was on our shortlist for Album of the Year in 2018, and top to bottom, it tells a story. It's dark, they change up their sound a little bit, made the beats a little different than what they've done before. They stripped back some of the songs and then added extra on certain songs.
Yes.
I mean, it starts out with She Works Out Too Much, which is just a really strange song. It goes into Little Dark Age, the title track.
It's a great
track.
Like title track to kind of get you into it. Usually title tracks end up being like in the middle near the end to kind of like be, this is ultimately what the piece is built around, but it's kind of, it is what the piece is built around, but it helps lead you into the album.
Exactly.
Whereas like She Works Out Too Much is like the appetizer.
Appetizer, exactly. You have Me and Michael, which is this 80s jams beat, dude. That song is so good. Time Spent Looking at My
Hard
Phone.
Pick.
See
Hard
Slam?
Pick. Has to be
Time Spent Looking at My Phone.
It had like the edgy sort of like Time Spent Looking at My Phone, look at what like people are doing, all the thing. It had that kind of take with it, but it's groovy as shit. The song is well put together and like well constructed. The chorus flows really well into the main verses part of it. It's just such a good song. It's one of those things where we go way back to like the horrors, like what you expected alternative would look like.
Exactly.
Not a few bands ended up like making what album that ultimately came out to be. And Little Dark Age is that.
One thing left to try, and the ending track with Hand It Over is perfect ending track for it. It just builds and builds and builds. It slows everything down to what this album craziness was, but my God, it's a masterpiece. It really is for them, and makes me appreciate them more as artists. And they might be coming out with some more stuff too this coming year. So
really,
yeah, because they have their own label now. So that was number eight, MGMT, Little Dark Age. And number seven, we have The 1975 with A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, which came out in 2018. Also tied as Album of the Year of 2018,
along with Anderson Paak,
exactly.
Which was lower than here, but yes. So we know what Sean, the person who was literally wearing the 1975 shirt that says Poison Me Daddy on the back, would have to say about this album. So let me talk about the album.
I want you to talk about the album.
Yes.
Go.
I came into A Brief Inquiry with sort of like my eye-rolling sort of thing. I know Sean really likes 1975, but let's just jump in and listen to it. And then came out of it going, yeah, that's one of the best albums I've heard of all year, possibly of the decade. And the reason it sucked, because his face is still smug, and we've done so many awards since then, and this still happens. But I will continue to explain it, because once you start in with Give Yourself a Try, Two Time, How to Draw Petrichor, the amount of cohesion that somehow all of those songs have, even though they're incredibly different, is just something that has to be said from 1975. It's such a big step up from I Like It When You Sleep, which still, like, it had good songs, but to me, as an album, felt like those jumps were a little bit too much at times. It made it harder to listen to. That was all ironed out by the time we got to Brief Inquiry. Of course, you get to the title track, Loved If We Made It. Wonderful song. One of the few protest songs that works. And one song of the year in the audio face, I think. Sincerity is Scary. Again, like, I think with the beauty of this album is that you can take the lead singles, and like some of my favorite Gorillaz albums, all the lead singles from the same album sound very different but still work together. Mm-hmm. Whereas Two Time is very much like a fun pop song. Loved If We Made It's a rock ballad. Sincerity is Scary is a softer jazz sort of
The amount of saxophones that are in it.
Yeah. The song that everyone should listen to get into it is, I'm kidding with this, by the way, I Like America and America Likes Me. The time when they make a trap song for fun. It's just like kind of funny. But no, I would say the song...
Unite Pariahs.
Yeah, the song you should get into if you are listening this album.
I say It's Not Living If It's Not With You would probably be the one that I would do for it. That gives you a general theme of what this album is. It also talks about Maddie's over things with dealing with drug addiction and getting through that. It talks about so many other things within life, the music video of it. It gives you a general overview of the 1975, and it is a fantastic song that gets radio play now a lot. It's picked up traction and stuff after it came out.
One point on the drug thing with the Tens, the Tens and drugs. We saw, so during the Tens, the context of it is like the opioid epidemic, naturally, in addition to the other drug epidemics that happen in the poor communities of color that never get names attached to them. But this was something that was happening across the United States and across the world, where people were like losing their lives to opioids and heroin and all these like different types of drugs. And so Matty Healy kind of coming into Brief Inquiry, talking about online relationships and that being the topic, but also about overcoming drug addiction and everything that drug addiction is meant to be a placeholder for. Stepping out of that is kind of the illustration of this album that makes it really beautiful.
One of the basics.
So yeah, we have talked about that. 1975's Brief Inquiry and Online Relationships, number 7 for top albums of the decade.
At number 6, we have Radiohead with A Moon-Shaped Pool, which came out in 2016. We never really get to talk right about Radiohead that much because our fucking podcast name is Audio Face, and you haven't gotten it by now. Well, now you know.
And we didn't even really review a Radiohead album.
Because we haven't been able to.
Yes.
So, A Moon-Shaped Pool. My
11
God.
Songs long.
11 songs? 11 songs long. 11 songs long, 52 minutes. All right, let's go into it. Burn the Witch, it starts off... just goes. It starts off burning, literally burning with Burn the Witch. The music video, everything into it, it's like, okay, this is definitely
they're
Radiohead.
Playing like guitar and bass with like bows.
Johnny's doing his thing.
That's how
where
you get
this Starcaster
like eerie sort of scary noise that comes with it that sounds at the same time beautiful and frightening.
Yes. They're one of the few people that can do it. Johnny's one of the few people that can do it. Then you get into Daydreaming, which is just this ballad of beautiness, and that's actually how they opened up that tour, the 2016-17 tour. They opened up with Daydream, which is just this piano song with a little beat, some chimes and stuff that would go around it, and it's one of the most beautiful Radiohead songs I know of. You got Dex Dark, Desert Island Disc, which are fantastic.
It's one of those, and I think it's Dex Dark that kind of begins with like this, I'm more like near the end it crescendos in like dark low piano keys. And it's kind of slower. Mm-hmm. The dun dun dun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you got Full Stop.
Full Stop is definitely the crazy song on here. It's just like the fun, upbeat craziness of it.
You dance to the bass line, everything about it, the guitar work, Tom yelling. It is awesome. You got Glass Eyes, which is a nice little piece in the middle to slow it down a little bit. Identikit's
my favorite song on here. One of the most beautiful songs Radiohead has ever created. Blessed 10 times.
Best by Jesus Christ himself, like Hail to the Thief.
But like Identikit is...
In 2012, they started debuting Identikit, but never released it until 2016.
Yes, and I like what the song became, I think. Yes.
I still like the 2012 version a little bit more, personally, because it's a little more electronic.
But what is the most normal song on here? I think
Present Tense and Present Tense.
Yeah.
Because then you get into the Present Tense, which is... I do not have words to describe of how good of a song the Present Tense is.
Present Tense or Dawn Chorus?
Dawn Chorus is the best thing that Tom York has written. Present Tense is the best thing that Radiohead has written. As my world comes crashing down, I'll be dancing, freaking out. Absolutely 100%. Because anytime I play Present Tense for somebody, they always ask me, who is this? Like, oh my God, who is this on? Who made this? What is this? I'm like, here's Radiohead. Like, wait, this is Radiohead? I'm like, yes, this is how good they are to people who don't know who Radiohead is. And this has happened to at least a dozen people with me when I played the Present Tense around them. Identikit's also one of the most beautiful, crazy, fun rock songs that they've ever made too. So that's what, just again, like I said with Anima, they can't make bad music.
Yeah.
Also, this is the best birthday present ever.
Yeah. It was fun. It was full of a lot of raw emotion and power, like a Radiohead album is really supposed to be. King of Limbs also came out in this decade.
I already mentioned it a bit, but it didn't. It's not Moon Cheap Pool.
It's literally not. It's not.
That's number six. Complete. So number five.
Top five.
We've got the fives. What's a fiver?
What five best, the fifth best album of the tens? Kendrick Lamar's Damn.
Oh, 2017, dude. Holy shit, this album. This is the only album I will allow to have all caps and periods in their song titles.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
So, again, we had another really large argument on here. Kendrick Lamar is one of the few artists, as you can tell, that we've made it to the top. One of the few artists that appears on here multiple times. And there's about to be three times, but three times is not allowed on this list. And so we had to pick three Kendrick Lamar albums that came out. It was between Good Kid, Mad City, which ultimately made it earlier in the year. It was between Damn, which already gone here, and then To Pimp a Butterfly.
Which you're like, we just can't do.
To Pimp a Butterfly is my favorite Kendrick Lamar album. Still, I think even though we put Damn here, I love a lot of it and what it stands for. Yes. I think it's the most like a concept album that Kendrick Lamar has produced, in that like it's an idea and all the songs fit around that idea. All Right was an amazing like protest song. Mm-hmm. It was basically the song of Black Lives Matter at 2015. So, like, there's a lot there. But Damn. It also is a concept album in that...
Which you'll get you'll notice that there's a theme for the top five of concept albums.
Yeah. And we can talk about this maybe after number one. But, like, it is a concept album in the sense that whereas To Pimp a Butterfly was very highly produced, it had these big numbers with organs and pianos and all this stuff coming together. It had Negro spirituals and all this stuff. Damn was really pared back, stripped down, really like gritty, almost trap influenced, if not fully there. Definitely, it seems like Kendrick Lamar is going in like his harder verses, but obviously you peel back all the layers there, and Kendrick Lamar is talking about like family matters, the role of like almost the thing rappers do at a certain point where they get to God status and they revel with it is like, am I a god? Am I like not a god? What is a god? Am I like all powerful? All that stuff. And then just the songs themselves, Loyalty, Royalty, and the DNA. There's that one.
Yeah, Humble, DNA, Element. It's just, even XXX featuring U2, all of these tracks are fantastic. I mean, we quote them all the time. When this came out, the lost episode of Audio Face is Damn. We reviewed Damn. I remember sitting there. Yeah. I don't know how to describe this album because I'm not a big rap trap fan. It takes me a while to get into a rap album for the most part. But holy fuck, I love this album. It was my first listen through. And man, it's so many songs on here I will always rip. I will always bump. And that's saying something from the both of us.
Humble really. Became like
the biggest song out of it for
but
sure.
I like to say listen to Element.
Elements to Element, 100%. I don't do it for the gram, I do it for Compton. I'm willing to die for the shit, nigga. I take your fucking life for the shit, nigga. We ain't going back to broke, family selling dope. That's why you many ass rap niggas better know. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out I'm my allergic element. To a bitch nigga, ay. An imaginary rich nigga, ay. Seven figures, how that slimmer than my bitch figure, ay. Going digital and physical and all y'all, ay. Bunch of criminals and money in my phone calls, ay. Element's an element, 100%.
Because
if you need to slap a pussy ass, you need to make it look,
make it look sexy.
Make it look sexy.
So even also watch the music video for that because it's inspired by really popular like African-American art and photography from like the 1950s onward and plays off of that in a nice way because Kendrick Lamar knows his shit. It's just like the masterpiece rap album. It is beautiful.
It is top to bottom. It's wonderful. That's number five. And number four, we have Arctic Monkeys with Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, came out 2018. The ironic part is this didn't win Album of the Year, but it's higher than A Brief Inquiry, and I'm going to get to that in a minute.
It happens,
because to me, this has so much more longevity than A Brief Inquiry. A Brief Inquiry is a perfect 2018 piece.
It's
a time capsule. It is so good for that. Tranquility Base is going to be an album that people are still going to listen to 50 years from now.
And that's kind of like what's...
Literally, that's the idea of the
album. What's separating, like once we get to top 10s, it's like, okay... A lot of this is like, what are the 50 songs of the 10s? But once you get to the top 10s, like, what are we going to look back on this decade and go,
wow,
this is it. Yeah.
This is it. Because Arctic Monkeys, obviously we talked heavily on AM, one of the best alternative rock album ever made still. And then they go into something completely different to a concept album of, you know what? Let's have an album about a moon colony set in the 1970s. And that's where you get the title, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. And it opens up a star treatment, which I've never had this happen in Audio Face. I still haven't happened yet. Where literally that song, I first listened to it. I didn't listen.
It lit up.
I did not listen to the rest of the album for 3 days afterwards because I listened to that song on repeat for 2 days straight. And I'm not even joking. So who you gonna call? I just wanted to be one of those ghosts you thought that you could forget, and then I haunt you via the ring.
Not like it's hard to review music like that or anything, but
I just I kept having to replay. I drove myself crazy of how much I liked Star Treatment, that opening track. Then you have, right after that, you have One Point Perspective, which my favorite part of One Point Perspective is the little guitar part at the end of the song, where it's just, it fills it up and makes it more fun. You have American Sports, the title track, Tranquility Base Hotel Casino, Golden Trunks, 4 out of 5, which is the most well-known piece out of it. The thing, too, that's interesting about this album, not just that it's a concept album, but from a rock band to go from this to more of a piano bass, Alex Turner, who's the lead singer of the Arctic Monkeys, he was saying that his manager gave him a Steinway upright piano as a gift, which I'm extremely jealous because Steinways are handmade and they're fucking expensive pianos. But he said it was the best thing that could have happened to him because he knew exactly where an album was going to go if he had a guitar. And he said, if I got into the piano, I sat down at it, I didn't know where this album was going to go, and it kept me guessing, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to keep myself surprised. I want to keep everybody else surprised to make, and that's how I make good music, relatively speaking. And that's what he did. He 180'd on their sound, 180'd on the entire band's presence and stuff.
Because keep in mind, the song, the album that came after, before this, was AM.
Exactly.
And there's a five, night and day.
Yeah, night and day differences. But you go to Arctic Monkeys show and you can play both this album and AM, and somehow it's still Arctic Monkeys. And you know it's Arctic Monkeys.
With Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, Arctic Monkeys became like the one of the best bands.
100%. This is
AM, where it kind of already AM, had it, but like, AM's you show like, that you can evolve from your best work. That's basically, exactly. Like, if you have the secret, you make your best work. You blow everyone out of the water. And then your next thing is something better than that, that we didn't expect hearing the other thing. Yeah. That keeps us guessing.
Maybe
that's
I was
a good
too honest. Wild in the 70s.
Yes.
But yeah, the closing track, the Ultra Cheese, is so sad because it's. I still have pictures of friends on the wall. Maybe they aren't friends anymore.
Yeah,
that's how it ends, and then that's how it starts. And at the end, it's him just like going full heart out into it of just how things change within people, how things, and that's happened to me personally. So when that
yes happens a lot.
Exactly, and when that that track, and it just ends abruptly with him going, and that's the album. And I go,
for fun.
Wow. Because you could have kept putting on that piece, but he's like, cut it there. That's abruptly. As much as I want.
For the effect. For the feeling. Effect.
And it's just, it left me speechless. And that never fucking happens. A Brief Inquiry didn't leave me speechless. Tranquility Base left me speechless, which is crazy.
Yeah, I'll say both for me, because I guess I saw A Brief Inquiry less coming.
I think that's pretty much.
It made me a little bit speechless, but this was speechless in a different way. That
oh,
was
like
man. A bit
it's
more
just
profound.
Like this. I'm like, now they're one of the best bands ever in history.
Yeah.
For this, 100%. So that's four.
Before we go on to the next ones, I want to.
You
want to
do the
I want to do honorable
mentions?
Yeah, honorable mentions. I already mentioned A Pimp a Butterfly. I will mention Beyonce's Lemonade. I listened to it over and over again, and Beyonce is also like the lazy music review.
Yeah, Lemonade is the lazy one to get up, but it objectively it's a fantastic fucking album.
Yeah, dude. And I didn't really get to like enjoy it that much when it came out because it was like Tidal exclusive.
Exactly.
But like obviously hearing like Hold Up was the song that was basically like Beyonce and Jay-Z may not be doing so well. But like,
whoa.
So Lemonade, the Beyonce album, and then combined with Jay-Z's 444 became like the Carters. It's just like this love story
exactly.
of breaking up and then coming back together stronger. But this portion where it's like all broken up, it's kind of Beyonce's story of like, how do I walk through and evolve this? I'm still this strong person, but like, there's the song Daddy Lessons where it's like, I'm trying to encapsulate all the stuff my dad told me about being a strong woman and trying to like stand up for this, even though I'm in these like feelings and it sucks right now. There's Sixth Sense, which is like kind of having that pride on your shoulders, having like 6-inch heels, but also like being vulnerable and lost. And I think that's why a lot of people gravitate towards Beyonce is that she can represent all these things at once, like extreme power, but also extreme vulnerability.
Exactly. And it's very rare for somebody to put off both fronts and be able to combine it into that. And that's one of those great albums that can do that.
Yeah, a lot of folks go into the album production-wise. I mean, like James Blake and Kendrick and the Weeknd and stuff, but naturally it comes together as a piece like that. Pick number three for 50 of the Tens.
The Metals.
Gorillaz. Plastic Beach.
2010.
Should I go? Should you go? Because we all know what I'm going to say.
So I'm going to go. Okay. This is the album that made me really appreciate and have respect for Gorillaz as a band. Demon Days was great. I liked it. But Plastic Beach is the album that sucked me into the lore of it. Because of watching the music videos and stuff, I go, whoa, okay, what is the backstory of all these characters and stuff that they've done? I've never really looked into it. This album is what sucked me into the fandom and everything. And now, okay, shit goes down with these characters. There's a whole story on it. And now it's also a giant concept album of a fake beach.
Yeah. I know the whole concept is Jamie Hewlett, the artist, described it. So after Demon Days, the band got too popular. They had to scatter because Murdoch had some like people to pay off.
Because you know it's Murdoch.
Yeah, because it's Murdoch. And they want to make a new album because Murdoch is out of money. But they're like hated around the world. So they have to go to Point Nemo. It's a place that actually exists.
It doesn't exist.
Because Point Nemo is the furthest point in the ocean
away from land. Land. Yes.
Yeah. The idea is that all the plastic and stuff that have we been throwing from the taps running for 100 years and stuff has accumulated into, at Point Nemo, this little fake beach kind of thing that Murdoch was like, oh, cool, I'm going to make an album here.
Yep.
Oh, cool, I'm going to kidnap 2D, somehow try to find if Noodle's alive or not, and send out a call for Russell so we can all come back here and make an album.
And that is it. And it is a masterpiece of an alternative record.
Not only is it a masterpiece, an alternative record, it's a masterpiece of Gorillaz kind of becoming like a full damn orchestra.
Yes.
Because with the later albums of this decade, Gorillaz released Humans, especially Humans, but the Now, but definitely Humans, it was full of guest artists and they kind of had their own place and did well in the song. But as an album, it was just too slapdash.
It was all hit and miss to me where you can't put it on shuffle. And it's still cohesive. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Plastic Beach, on the other hand, every song goes together. Every song feels like you're on a plastic beach.
It puts you there.
It puts you there. Exactly.
Each artist like takes their own sort of idea towards it, but they make it happen like together. So like, and also the mixes of artists are ridiculous. You start with Snoop Dogg, then you get Bashy and Kano, these two British rappers, along with the National Orchestra for Arabic Music.
Yes.
You have Mos Def, now in Sweepstakes. Little Dragon, you have soul singer, rest in peace, Bobby Womack,
Who
appeared for Cloud of Unknowing, his own track, and Stylo with Mos Def, which I think I'm going to say, like, you need to listen to it. Here's what we got to do. If this love is electric, it'll be flowing on the street. Night after night. Just to get
Stylo was definitely trashy.
Stylo was the lead single, didn't get the most airplay on it. Surprisingly, Super Fast Jellyfish got a shit ton of airplay.
Which is really weird.
Because it's like, Super Fast Jellyfish also in the Gorillaz lore was strange because it features De La Soul, and previously De La Soul and Gorillaz had made Gorillaz' single biggest song to date, Feel Good Inc.
Yes.
And so then they come around with a song about an advertisement for frozen microwave jellyfish. And it's like a dystopian song that's like, hey, in the future...
It tastes just like chicken.
Yeah, in the future, we have nothing else to eat because everything's filled with plastic or we killed it. So we're eating super fast jellyfish.
You have On Melancholy Hill, which is such a one of the most beautiful pieces. It's
one of the most beautiful synth pop songs ever made.
It is my favorite Gorillaz track is On Melancholy Hill. I remember when the album came out, when I heard it On Melancholy Hill, just repeated it over and over and over and over again of just how beautiful it was. The music video of it is awesome, where it's just guys on corsets just shooting each other down. Yeah. It's so much fun. You have Broken After That, which is a joke between me, Caesar, and Bam on the We Made a Podcast now.
Yeah.
There's this album top to bottom. Every song is a masterpiece.
I can't forget my favorite Gorillaz song, Rhinestone Eyes.
Rhinestone Eyes, yep.
Your eyes are like fucking phenomenal. They literally ran out of money to make the music video for it.
Yep.
So the fans used the storyboard and made the video themselves. Yep. And exactly. Like Jimmy Hewlett was like, that's incredible.
That's what it is now.
Yeah. I mean, and like it has a very Plastic Beach with Mick Jones and Paul Simonon. It just has this like old history. But like ultimately Plastic Beach has this idea of environmentalism. And it started in 2010, and now 2019 is like we're all freaking out about the environment now. But the last song, Pirate Jet, it's all good news now because we left the taps running for 100 years. So drink into the drink, plastic cup drink, drink with the purple, the people, the plastic eating people still connected to the moment it began. It's a song about we've messed up but we need to unite together to fix it.
Exactly.
And that's Plastic Beach, everyone.
And it's a great way to make it not a protest album, but an album about change without making it an album about
beating you over the head with like the idea and the theme.
Exactly.
That's why a concept album is a great idea.
The way to do it, man.
Yeah.
That is the way to do it.
Top album. Number two. Second best album of the decade. M83's Hurry Up, We're Dreaming.
Oh my God, man. This album is... Beautiful. Came out in 2011. Another concept album. And this is the most storytelling album. I did not realize it was a double album, actually. It is the most storytelling album of the decade to me, where you have obviously the hit, like, you know, everyone knows Midnight Sydney, Midnight City.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that track. You have a couple of bangers like Wait. A lot of people will know that because that's been in a lot of stuff. Reunion, you'll know those. But then there's all of these other little hidden tracks on it of like Where the Boats Go, Train to Pluton, stuff like that. Of it's somebody going on their own journey through life and then dreaming about where they're going to end up. And that's the entire album.
Really trippy.
It is so trippy, but beautiful. And every song has a piece. Every little thing has a piece. Because we've had multiple albums throughout Audio Face of things that they have little interludes in between them. Humans, I'm Looking at You especially, that do not work at all. Everything feels misplaced. All the interludes on this, even if you put the album on shuffle, somehow still work. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But I did it as a test to see if I would skip all of them, and I really didn't. There's only a couple I would skip, but it makes sense because they actually need to flow with the song that goes into it. But for the most part, you can mix and match and you still have that entire theme, and you go on a different journey than what the album goes from top to bottom. And this is the album that made me like M83 to no end. Because he came out earlier with Saturdays Equal Youth in 2008, and then his Before the Dawn Heals Us in 2005, which were great, but there was some stuff that still left gaps in there. It was pretty teen angsty, but still good. But Hurry Up Redreaming is just like, it's such a wonderful album.
Listen to it and it transforms you to like the soundscape of exactly what they're like trying to get across with.
Exactly. It's experimental. It's different. He said that he doesn't really like the sound of his voice. Anthony Gonzalez, who's the head of M83, and he said, I went to it and I said, you know what? I'm going to conquer my fear of it and do my own vocals, but I'm going to fuck with it or with my synths and make something that doesn't really sound like me, but I could still do on stage.
Yeah.
And that's what he did with it. And then made this whole storytelling thing of just, it's a perfect album.
That messing with the vocal things comes across really well in Midnight City. But I think the song people should get into is one of your favorite songs, Claudia Lewis.
Oh my God, Claudia Lewis, the bass line in Claudia Lewis is my favorite bass line probably ever.
For song construction, for like ideation, for like it even does the thing like the 1975 does, where once they kind of like crescendo, it just becomes this like sonic synthesizer soundscape.
Yes.
Background of everything that's going on, that kind of like just like hugs your ears and feels warm. It's an acquired taste for some, because it reminds me of the Bliss Point in EDM, where like it's a build up, and then that drop is just like the almost like relief of feeling that you get. It does that in a way, but I think in a
pared back, less creepy way. Exactly, and definitely in its own unique way, for sure. And I don't know how many times I've listened to the album when it came out, but my God, it is definitely, it's second best. If only this one album didn't come out 2 years later, it would have been number one for me. I can no question. But
this one album had to come out. The album number one, the best album to come out between the years 2010 and 2019, of all of them. Even though this is our personal decision, I think we're just right in general, just objectively.
Daft Punk.
Random Access Memories.
Memories, 2013. This is the perfect album, top to bottom,
perfect.
Absolutely fucking perfect. This is, I brought this up to Dan because I wrote one of this 2 weeks ago, right? And I said, I already know what number one is. He's like, okay. So we sit down yesterday, he has recordings of this too, of, I already know that Daft Punk, Random Access Memories is number one and you can't tell me otherwise. And it's for this reason especially. It is the only album I can put on for anybody who has any acquired taste of any music and they will like it. I've been to parties where it's mainly people who like trap. I've been to parties that like country. I've been to parties that like alternative rock like myself. Anytime I put on Random Access Memories, boom, everybody can bump to it. Everybody is golden on it. It's one of the very, very rare albums that everybody liked it.
Yeah. And from an album start to finish, like, Daft Punk's, they've always had, like, the history of the elusive robots. And they had released, the aughts had been pretty good.
Beautiful, because you have Discovery, Robot Rock, you had the Live 07. Yeah, they did the Tron soundtrack, which was 2010.
Yeah.
And then, but then since Robot Rock, they'd never released a full LP for 7 years. I mean, no one knew it was going to happen.
Then no one had heard from them. And then all of a sudden at Coachella.
They put posters. Like,
no, that wasn't even the posters. All of a sudden at Coachella, there's a performance happening in the background, and then it fades to black. And then all of a sudden it's just a very groovy song. And then, like, just shimmering things happening. And then slowly it reveals the Daft Punk logo. Yep.
And that's it.
To this, like, groovy song. And everyone's like, what
the fuck?
And that song became Get Lucky.
Yes. Which is their biggest track off of that album. Yes. And I think the album version is...
Listen to the album version, because everyone's heard the watered down radio edit that cuts off, like, a lot of the best parts. Mm-hmm. Daft Punk, their philosophy with this is kind of... makes sense in the first song, Give Life Back to Music.
Exactly.
Which is, they're electronic artists. They've seen electronic go a certain way. They've been producing since the 90s.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, like, they've just really in there, and they've seen music kind of go a lot of ways they didn't like.
Exactly.
Give Life Back to Music and Random Access Memories was an opportunity to go back to the basics. They used 70s and 80s recording styles and technology and recording equipment.
Exactly.
Down to the microphones, because they wanted to get that exact sound. They wanted to optimize for quality. And you hear this, and it's like... there are, like, very few purposeful imperfections in this. Like, it's all meant to be there.
It's beautiful. I mean, you have The Game of Love, Giorgio by Moroder, which is this whole story of Moroder.
And Giovanni Giorgio.
Yes.
And it's a story about, like, him understanding and growing up with, like, synthesized understanding and then in the 80s.
Making electronic music to where it is today. And that's what that whole track is about. You have Within, you have Instant Crush with Julian Casablancas. I remember when you reviewed this album on Twitter, and you said Instant Crush is an instant favorite. I have that shit on from Twitter when you read that.
I do remember tweeting that.
You have Lose Yourself to Dance with Noted Little Vampire Pharrell Williams. That is such a banger.
And Lose Yourself to Dance, even though Get Lucky was a lead single, Lose Yourself to Dance had the most longevity, because that shit was playing till, like, last month.
I was still, like, it's playing today somewhere, probably.
Yeah.
You have Touch with Paul Williams, which features my favorite instrument, the Ode Martineau.
And, like, Random Access Memories has a lot of beautiful singers on here. Panda Bear, Todd Edwards, Pharrell Williams, even. Paul Williams killed it with Touch. It's just the most
Touch
beautiful.
No matter when I listen to it, it always gives me goosebumps, especially with that intro, where it's just the Ode Martineau, and then the faded voice of Touch, I believe, Touch. And it's like, but it's so distorted, and you still have the Ode Martineau going. You literally feel like you're in space, floating in space. Like you're completely lost in an unworldly setting that you've never been to. And then just keeps accumulating, and then you slowly get brought back to Earth within the piece. Because it's an eight-minute-long song.
Kiss, suddenly alive, happiness arrive, hunger like a storm, how do I begin? A room within a room, a door behind a door, touch, where do you lead? I need something more. Tell me what you see, I need something more.
And then it just becomes this funk groove house beat with trumpets
almost
and
folky.
Horns, folk. You know, it's like there's so much that goes into that piece of it. I'm like, who the hell makes this music?
And so Daft Punk is. And so what Daft Punk did is they made an album that throws back to disco and groove and funk and all this stuff that we're talking about resurging in the 10s, making a great like second coming. But they do this within the context of producing electronic music. So it still has the...
It's the roots of it, for sure.
Each song is still constructed like an electronic song. It has like a slow build up, different parts and sections, almost like they progress and then they coalesce together in one thing and sort of build down. All the songs do that, even kind of like the slower poppy ones. And it feels like Daft Punk in that way, but it's nothing like anything Daft Punk made before.
Absolutely.
And nothing like
not.
What anyone has made after.
No, it's its own masterpiece that nobody can really top. You have Fragments of Time and Doing It Right.
I mean, like Beyond and Motherboard are also, because like there are a lot of songs where, like Daft Punk just like stick to it solo.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond comes after Get Lucky and does this like whole orchestral trumpet thing as an intro, and then kind of settles down back into like an electronic bread and butter kind of thing that Daft Punk would do, where it's this beautiful robot voice singing back and forth. Motherboard does that, then getting into Fragments of Time, like you were saying. And then it has to, like, why did Daft Punk have to do this and break our hearts with their second to last song, probably ever, being Doing It Right? Doing It Right is the perfect Daft Punk song.
It's
Daft Punk did before with what they did now.
It's a perfect song, man. But Doing It Right is, that is the song to me that I've put on for anybody, and everybody's like, I can vibe to this.
Yes.
Anybody who likes any genre, I've put that song to, they're like, yes, I can get on board with it. Like, I've gone to so many different parties and just so many different mixes of music and so many different genres. Doing It Right comes on, everybody's on the floor. Which is ridiculous.
It's a groove song, it's a fun song, it's a sexy song. Like, it's all this together. Only Daft Punk can do this.
Ends on Contact, and it's a perfect fucking album.
Ends on Contact, and you just want to, like, I want to listen to it again, backwards, with all the songs. Like, that's the...
I'm like, can they tour? Nope, they never toured because they know how good it was.
No, they maybe played it once or twice. And by the way, Daft Punk's live shows were the best live shows in electronic music. Everything that exists now is like EDC is basically just a large iteration off of the live
because
shows.
Because of the live, especially 07, how big their shows got. But now they're like, we don't need to do that no more.
We don't need to do it. We can't. They performed it like once at like a couple of award shows, and that's it.
And that's it.
It's, I think, the biggest crime Daft Punk has ever done to not tour that, but like they don't.
But that, they literally just mic dropped and said, we just made the best album of the decade. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And they did.
That's it.
Absolutely. That's our list.
That's our list. If you don't like it, you can follow us at Audio Face Pod, where you can get, like, you can follow us and interact with us and tell us how much you didn't like the list or tell them that you loved it. Subscribe to the podcast if you aren't subscribed already, because in just a couple of days, we'll be back with normal episodes of Audio Face. Reviewing the new singles of the week, the new music of the past month, really, because we've got a lot to catch up on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but we'll be back in the groove of it. But
a little bit of news as well.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed the top 50 of the 10s. Make sure you follow us at AudioFacePod on Instagram and Twitter, at me at SW Suarez, at Dan from the internet on Instagram, and Dan from the web on Twitter, on YouTube, youtube.audioface.show. And we'll link
our descriptions, playlist.
Our playlist that has all the pieces that we've talked about to have you get into them. And we'll have it on a playlist on Spotify so you can all figured out.
Yeah. This was a hell of a list to put together. It was a hell of a production.
It was a lot. We deserve a break.
Yes.
So thanks for bearing with us for the break, because we'll be back in a couple days.
Yes.
And thanks for listening. I hope you agree with us. Or if not, fuck it.
At the very least, even if you don't agree with us, listen to all this music.
Yeah, exactly.
It was phenomenal to listen to think about, to come up with this.
Let us listen to.
So, I just listen. It's free real estate. Let's go for it.
Exactly. All right, guys.
Cheers.
Prost.